the book of Job. Also, want to draw your attention to the screen. We're going to have just one slide this morning that gives a key verse that we're going to look at instead of having that we're going to go back and forth to. So instead of going back and forth in your Bibles with it, just leave it up there as a reference point for you. The title of this morning's message is Under Pressure. Under Pressure. So we in my Sunday school class, and I get the privilege of teaching, have been looking at something called talking about how God can do extraordinary things with ordinary people. So how God can take an ordinary person and do something extraordinary with them. And the Lord laid upon my heart to do the next part of that series this morning, talking about the man Job. And it's really an interesting lesson, and it's really an interesting character, and what a really a profound book of the Bible. There's so much in that Bible and so much inside that book, so much we can learn. But to get back to the Sunday school to just introduce, because I know only a handful of you are actually in my Sunday school class, it's the thought here that God can take an ordinary person and do something extraordinary with them if we're willing to allow ourselves to be used by God. And the first person we talked about was Noah. And you think about Noah, you know, we all know what Noah was famous for. Noah was famous for building the ark. So the Bible doesn't say that Noah was a great carpenter or that Noah was a great preacher, but what made Noah extraordinary or let God use him in an extraordinary way was the fact that he was obedient. You know, if God would have come to you and said, hey, I want you to build an ark and I want you to build this boat when it had never even seen rain, most of us would say, you want me to do what? But the amazing thing is, it wasn't because Noah was really good at building the ark. It wasn't because Noah had some special talents at carpentry. All he was faithful. He was obedient. He took an ordinary individual and did something extraordinary with him because of the fact that he was willing to be obedient. And it's amazing what God could do in our lives if we would just say, okay, Lord, I want to be obedient. And we talked about other ones. We talked about Caleb and his consistency, how he continued to serve the Lord even though he had to wander around for 40 years in the desert. He didn't get bitter. He kept his eyes focused on God. And even after they reached the promised land, he says, hey, I still want that mountain. We talked about men like Barnabas and the gift of encouragement that he had and how God was able to use him to be an encouragement to the preachers of that day in that first century church of Jerusalem when they were having needs and he was willing to give, and how even when Saul, who later became Paul, was trying to join the church of Jerusalem, the people, and nobody wanted to help him, Barnabas came alongside and was an encouragement to him. And even later on, when John Mark had done something wrong, how Barnabas was an encouragement to them. Over and over, people that were just ordinary people that God was able to use in extraordinary ways because of the fact that they were willing to be what he's made them to be. Use some of the talents and abilities that God had given them. Remember, in our own hands, our talents and abilities are not much. But in the hands of an almighty God, when we give him ourselves, he can do extraordinary things. Now, I'm not saying that God's ever going to call you to build an ark, or God's ever going to call you to tackle the promised land, or defeat giants, or even do the things to help the Saul becoming Paul. But at the same time, I want you to understand that God can take someone who is just like me and you, ordinary, and make us do something extraordinary for him. And it's a wonderful thought there. And this story today about Job is the idea of being patience. And patience is important. The Bible speaks about patience. Let me give you a couple of definitions about the word patient. It's bearing pains or trials calmly and without complaint. Also, another definition is steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. And I thought this was a good message in the idea that some people had some pretty bad days in the last few days because of the storm. Some people had some different trials and sometimes different frustrations that they faced. And some people had some pretty bad days in their lives. But when we consider a person having the worst day ever, Job's mind would probably come to you. At least Job would come to my mind about all the different things that happened to Job in just a short period of time. Look what it says here in Job chapter number 1, and we'll go down to verse number 14. Job chapter number 1, verse number 14. It says, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and have burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So as we can see here, in just a few moments, Job goes from being one of the richest men alive to being one of the men that has lost most of his possessions. It doesn't even stop there. Verse number 18, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy son and thy daughters were eating and drinking in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. The Bible says, Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell upon the ground and worshiped. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning. God, I know I need your help today. Lord, I really truly want you to give me the words that you once said to be an influence and impact on not only my life, but also in the lives of the people that are here. God, I know that patience is something the Bible speaks about, but it's something that many of us lack. And when we're discussing our walk with God, sometimes when trials come and difficulties come, that's when we turn away from you or we go to depend upon ourselves. As we see in the story this morning, help us to be steadfast. No matter what the opposition is, no matter what the difficulty is, no matter what the adversity is, help us to react to different situations in the right way. Thank you for the example of Job, where it speaks to our heart about how to deal with being under pressure. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look here for the verse that we're going to look at. It says, behold, we count them happy which endure. And it continues on, you have heard of the patience of Job. So when we talk about the different abilities that they have, Noah being obedient, Caleb being someone that is consistent, Barnabas being someone that's an encouragement, the Bible even goes as far as saying, you have heard of the patience of Job. It even draws a conclusion and says, hey, look, you've heard of this. I want you to pay attention to this. And have seen the end of the Lord. Now, the end of the Lord, we're going to look at in a little while. I was talking about what the Lord can do in the end. When we are patient and when we are able to endure through something, it's amazing what God can do. And we're going to see what God did in Job's life, which was amazing. But look what it says, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. God is speaking of the mercies of God and how God views us and sees us we're going through and how he is someone who is encouraging to us and someone who is loving to us and kind to us. You know, when we look at this and we see that Job loses so much in the same day, some people say, well, at least he has his health. Well, you go to the next chapter, you know what happens? He's covered with boils from the top to the bottom of his body. Does he even have his health? And no matter how severe things get, and there's no doubt that sometimes there are hard times. And there's no denying the fact that sometimes life brings hard issues. And sometimes we can be under intense pressure. The question is, how will we handle these things? How will we respond to these things? As you see in the story, we're going to see here in the morning in the story of Job, he's memorable because of these awful things that happened to his life. But what elevated him from being ordinary to being extraordinarily used of God was the fact that Job had patience during this time. He said, well, patience is something that I wish I was better at. Well, the Bible speaks of only one way that we get patience, and it's the hard way. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, tribulation worketh patience. James chapter 1, verse number 3, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Job's faith was definitely tried. And even later on in the story, you see his wife that tries to be an encouragement, but in all reality betrays Job in a sense, and even God. And then he has friends that come, and his friends are no real help to him. But yet Job handled the season of severe adversity with patience. His example provides us with wisdom that can change the way we deal with the hard times as well. I know that last week we talked about blind Bartimaeus, and we talked about getting to God, and we're going to continue on Sunday mornings about that. But when we get under pressure, that is the time that we should run to the Lord. When things are going hard and things are going tough and times are going unusually severely adverse, having great adversities, we should turn to Him. We should run to Him. And that's what you see here that He does. The first thing I want you to think about is, the first point is, get under it with faith. Get under it with faith. You say, get under what? Get underneath the problems. Get underneath the pressure. Get underneath all the things and have faith. There's a connection here when you see these words in James 5:11. You have the word endure and you have the word patience. In the language of the New Testament, those two words come from the same root. They paint the picture of under a problem, paint the picture of enduring through it and bearing it up. It has the ability to withstand the hardship. How do we deal with adversity and hard times? We get underneath it with faith. He was able to handle the load. Job was able to handle the load that was going on. He was able to deal with the loss of his children, the loss of all these possessions, because he turned to the Lord. Look what it says here once again in chapter number 1. And look what it says in verse number 20. In verse number 20, he says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell upon the ground and worshiped." This was something that he was doing because he is drawing closer to God. And I know in the book of Ezra, it talked about how sometimes people would pull their hair out because of the adversity or because of the pressure. That's not what Job is doing here. Instead, Job is getting closer. He's drawing nigh to God. He was a righteous person. He did not know what was going to happen. He did not know why this was happening. But instead, he says in verse number 20, he rent his mantle, he shaved his head, he fell out upon the ground, and he what? He worshipped. He said, "God, you're worthy." He put God in an elevated theme and an elevated part of his life. And he says he doesn't murmur, he doesn't complain, but instead he says he worshipped him. God can be everything to us if we will allow him to help us get underneath our troubles. Look what it says in verse number 21. "And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job here is drawing close to God when he's having adversity. I don't know about you today. I know we all face issues and problems. I don't know what happened at many of your houses during the storm, but I do know that there's conflict. There's problems. What do we do with those problems? What do we do with these issues? Job here, he ceremonially, he rips his mantle, he shaves his head. What is he doing? Is he complaining? Is he showing some opposition? No, he's trying to get under the problem with God. He's turning to the Lord. Many times when we have our problems and we have adversity and we have conflict, instead of turning to God, which is going to help us draw near Him, we instead go and do things our own way and do what we think is best. The first thing I want you to see is get under it with faith. The second thing is get over it with hope. Get over it with hope. I was reading an illustration. I hope it makes sense to you. It made sense to me, and I think you might enjoy it, so I'm going to read it. It says, in Spain, the place of Christopher Columbus' death in 1506, there's a monument that still stands to commemorate the famous explorer. The monument pictures Columbus at the bow of a small boat that is perched atop a spear representing the earth. Circling the spear is the Latin phrase, non plus ultra, which what's most striking about the monument is the lion to the left of the spear with one paw still raised and scratching the word non away. Now, why would that be? And the axe signifies that Columbus' destruction, a long-held myth, that Spain, specifically the Strait of Gibraltar, that separates Spain and Gibraltar from Morocco, was the western end of the classical world. The phrase non plus ultra actually means there's no more beyond. It served as a warning to sailors not to attempt to go further. That was the phrase was even printed on Spanish maps and flags and was declared the country's national motto. When Columbus proved there was a fact that there was more lands to discover, they reversed that and said plus ultra, which means more beyond. Plus ultra would have been Job's motto also. He understood this important truth. He says, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return? Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." it's the thought here that he knew something better was coming. Just like Spain had wrote, hey, you can't go any farther. There's nothing better yet to come. We live in a life that's hope. When we have severe issues and severe adversity, sometimes we feel like there's nothing to live for. But as a Christian, as a believer, not only can we get under it with faith, we can get over it with hope because we know that this world is not our final resting place. This world is not our home, that someday something better is coming. Job was able to look at it and say, hey, look, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The thought of the hearer is, hey, God gives us exactly what we can handle. God's given us good things, and God has also sometimes allowed bad things to happen. 1 Timothy 6:7 says, so we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out of this world. Go ahead and take your Bible to Job chapter number 19. Later on, it actually says, Job says, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He was trusting in the Lord because he knew that this was not his final resting home. He knew that someday, that even though he was going to die, that his flesh shall see God. Job chapter 19, verses 25 and 26. He says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. See, Job's hopes transcended his trials. Job's hope was not just found in his family. Job's hope was not just found in his camel and his oxen. Job's hope was found that someday he will stand before God and he will see God. It transcended his trials. It allowed him to be patient in times when there would be no answers. And there will be times in our life where it seems like there is no answers. And it seems like we don't know what's going to happen next. And it seems like everything's overwhelming. And the pressure is on us. And it seems like, what am I going to do? But our life doesn't end there. We can be patient today because with faith and with God's help, we can bear the problems. But also, we can, under the pressure, we can look forward to someday that it's not going to be like this. Aren't we looking forward to today that where there's no sin and there's no death, where there's no more pain and there's no more sorrow and there's no more tears? When we realize, like Job, there's more beyond. Just like in the monument, how the lion is trying to cover up that fact that it's none, because there is something that lives beyond. All those people for all those years felt like there was nothing else beyond the Straits of Gibraltar. Instead, they're saying, hey, look, there is something more beyond. There is something more to live for. There is something more that can be conquered. There is something more that can be discovered. And in our lives, the reason why we can act with patience, and as you've heard of the patience of Job, is because he knew that there was a hope for him someday, and that hope wasn't just found in the trials. The hope was found in that someday in my flesh, it says, shall I see God. When we realize, like Job, that there's more beyond, we can find hope in God too. We can find hope despite the hardship. It's not to minimize adversities. I know some of you go through adversities. I hear some of your adversities. But I also am reminded of the fact that our hope is not in circumstances. It's not in possessions. Circumstances change and possessions can be gone in the blink of an eye. But if we put our hope and trust in the one who never changes, Psalms 31, 24 says, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So we see here, first of all, we can get under it with our faith. We can get over it with our hope, and we can get through it with love. We can get through it with love. You ever heard the phrase, with friends like these, who needs enemies? And I think about the story here that was with Job and how his friends came to encourage him, but the friends were mistaken. The friends said, it must be because of some evil and wickedness that you've done, but that wasn't the case at all. And you think about it, back in Bible times, people would reason, if God blessed you, that meant that you were right with God. If God was punishing you or something bad happened, it means that you're wrong. And even back in Bible times, even up to New Testament times, people thought that that the rich were especially blessed of God. Remember when the disciples heard about how Jesus says it was hard for a rich man to enter into heaven? It was harder for, and they were like, well, who can be saved? It's because they thought that those that were rich were blessed of God because they were doing what's right. That's not the case at all. Here, God's blessing sometimes includes prosperities, but sometimes there's a treatment for us that we always remember. Wealth is not a testament of God's love toward us. Remember, the Lord gave and the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God allows trials to come up in our lives for many reasons we don't understand. But that does not mean that God is angry. That does not mean that God has stopped loving us. It just means that God is trying to teach us something. The Bible says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. Meaning that, you know, good things happen to those that are just and those that are unjust. The rain comes on both. And in the story here, it's the idea that we get through it with love. We understand that no matter what happens in our life, that God loves us. And as we see in these verses here, it says, behold, we count them happy which endure, is saying, hey, look, if they're able to endure, those are the ones that are going to be blessed by God. He says, you've even heard of the patience of Job, and you've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. The Lord pities us as his own children. Next, but last but not least, it says, get beyond it with joy. Get beyond it with joy. Get under it with hope. Get through it with love. Get beyond it with joy. The story of Job doesn't end in a struggle. And that's an amazing picture of that someday, even though we struggle here in this world, but does not mean that our lives are going to end like that in the other world. Go ahead and take your Bible to Job chapter 42. At the end of the book of Job, we see here that God blesses Job. Now, Job was not perfect, and we know that Job learned something about his own self-righteousness. Job was not doing the heinous sins that his friends had thought he was doing, but instead, God was using this and teaching Job something that was really important. But later on, God restores Job everything he had lost, plus much more. We can know that we can get beyond these issues with joy. The story of Job's life doesn't end with the struggle. As we read at the end of the book in Job chapter 42, look what it says in verse number 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke and oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first. And so we see here that God not only blesses or restores unto Job all that he had before, but he also gives him double. It gives him double when it comes to the sheep. It gives him double when it comes to the camel. It gives him double when it comes to the oxen and the asses. You may say, hey, he has the same number of children. Well, he might have lost his children here in this world, but he still has those children someday up in heaven. So he has received twice as much. Now, when it says, what is the end of Job? When you look at that verse in James 5:11, it says, has seen the end of the Lord. What is the end of the Lord for Job? According to James, his purpose was to teach Job of his tender mercy. According to James, he learned about how God was able to be pitiful for him. See, you say, well, how can God be merciful if he put Job through so many issues, if he put Job through so many problems? It's because of the fact that it was the end of Job we must see. It's the end of Job we must consider. It's what happens. If God is so merciful, why did he allow these things to happen? I don't really know. I don't know if we can always know why God allows testing and hardship and why God allows trials in our life. But we do know that God has always got a plan and purpose. Job 23:10 says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job saw the trial and he says, look, he's going to try me. When I come forth, I want to come forth as gold. I want to come forth as one who serves him. Look what it says in verse number 5 over there. Actually, let's go ahead and start in verse number 3. It says, Job 42:3, who is he that hideth the counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered the I understood not. Things too wonderful which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these things unto Job. Now I want you to see here, in verse number 2, it says, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from me. Many of you know my testimony. I mentioned a little bit of last week about it for a minute or two. Verse number 5 is one of the verses that I love and the Lord taught me a lot. Verse number 5, it says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. For many years of my life, I heard about God. As I mentioned last Sunday morning, I grew up in church, and I was faithful to church all my life. Probably 95% of my life, I went to church four times a week. I always just heard about God. I heard about it, but I never truly saw God working in my life like he desired. It wasn't until there were some trials and some issues in my life that God brought me to a reality and a realization how much I needed him. Now, could I have thrown in the towel? Could I have gave up? Could I quit church? Could I have done all those things? Sure, I could have. But God allows certain things to happen, and I needed those things to happen for me to get a better picture of who God was, for me to start doing what God wanted me to do. Now, Job was completely different. Job, at the beginning of the story, said he was a man, he was a righteous man, he eschewed evil. He was the one that the God said he could trust Job in the devil's hands. But this, throughout all these different things, God revealed himself to Job to where he says in verse number 5, I've heard of thee by the hearing the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Job could say, for years I've heard about you, and I've heard about you, and I heard about you, but now I see you working. Now I see you moving. You say, what's the big deal about that? Job had to go through all those trials for that to happen. God had to teach him that he could get under it with faith and that he could get over it because he knew his hope wasn't found in those animals and even inside his own family. He knew that God could love him through it. He could be seen through it with love. And at the end of his days, look what it says towards the end of the chapter here. It's really an interesting verse in verse number 17. It says, so Job died being old and full of days. I think about that, and I think about, well, does that mean he just had so many days? Well, in verse 16, it says, and after this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. But I think being full of days, meaning that they were the best days of his life. They were something that he had gone through and something he had experienced, and now he sees God working. Now he sees God moving. Now he understands what God's trying to do in his life. And how can we have the patience that's talked about here? So behold, we count them happy to which endure. You think Job was happy? It says that he was full of days, and he was blessed of the Lord, and all those things that happened. And he says, you have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. Look what God can do in the end if you're willing to be faithful during the trial, if you're willing to be patient during a trial, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So what do we learn from Job today is that we can be patient in the trial, that we don't have to forsake God. If you go back, it says, after all these things happened, it says that yet Job did not curse God with his mouth. His wife had told him to go ahead and just curse God and die, but he refused. He wanted to stay faithful during the times. He wanted to be faithful and patient during these opportunities. The storms that happened in his life was something that was overwhelming, and we remember that, and we heard of the patience of Job, but are we that way? When issues and trials come up and they seem overwhelming and it seems like the pressure is falling around us, what is it and how is it that we respond? The Bible says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James 1:4, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This morning, I don't know why God impressed upon me to preach about Job and in this series that we're doing in Sunday school, but I think there's a reason. And in the story and in the message, it just reminds us of that God is faithful throughout the whole entire time. Can't we be faithful during the trial? When problems are happening and issues are happening, sometimes we get overwhelmed and we stop being Christ-like. I know that happens to me in the last few months. It's been a very, very crazy couple months for my family. And sometimes I respond by not being the kindest. And that's not normally me. Why is that? It's because there's so many different things. I can have the choice to believe that I can get under the pressure and I can get under the problems. And by faith, God can help me if I turn to him. Job, he shaved his head and he rent his mantle. And what did he do? He stopped and he worshiped the Lord. Many times we miss that when the trials are coming. Are you worshiping the Lord? Are you saying, God, you're worthy of all praise and glory? It didn't take him off the throne just because I had a problem. Just because there was a hurricane didn't mean that God is no longer on the throne. He's on the throne. We can get under it with faith. We can believe that God's still in charge and that God's in control. We can get over it with hope. We don't have to deal. We don't have to live underneath the pressure. We don't have to live underneath the issues and problems because we have that hope that someday, even though the worms are going to eat us, in our flesh, we're going to see God, it said. Then we consider the truth that's found in the fact that it's the end. We can rejoice in the end because we know that God is full of tender mercy and full of love. So the question is, how do we respond today? How are you responding to the issues that are happening? The trials and the pressures that seem like they're surmounting everywhere. God loves us. He has a purpose for us just as much as he does on the good days as he does in the worst days of our life. If you ever think of the person that had the worst day ever, you would think of Job. But we've learned of Job's extraordinary example. It was his patience. He was patient. He was able to persevere through. He was able to continue to serve and able to continue to still learn about God. And in the end, God blessed him and he could have joy because of what happened in the end. This morning, how are you reacting to the pressures of life? Many times people respond to pressures and hardships by turning away from God. Well, we should be running to him. Job, when he rent his mantle and he shaved his head, says that he stopped and he worshiped God. Are we still worshiping God? Are we still believing and trusting that there is a greater hope someday and that he still loves us and that the end can be even better than the beginning? That's what happened with Job. Now, I don't always like the issues and problems that happen in life, but if I go back and look over those things, those times, those are the times I learn the most. I learn the most about God and I learn the most about myself. If I'm willing to be patient and learn, we'll agree that we'll rejoice for those that have endured. We've heard that example about how Job was patient, but it's something that Job learned about how good God is to us. Let me tell you how good God is. So if you're here this morning and do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God just does not love those who believe in him. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, meaning that he loved every person. I believe every person that was ever born that God loved. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, you talked a lot, and some of it was confusing about Job and how this man lost all his oxen, lost all his livestock, lost his family, but he still worshiped a God like that. How can you worship someone like that? It's because he believed and trusted in it. This morning, God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you to pay your sin debt, because the Bible teaches us that we're all sinners and lost and need a Savior. And I don't just like tacking it on the end because it's the most important message, as we heard the choir sing. Have you heard? Have you heard the gospel? It's a story for the ages that God loved us so much that he was willing to pay our sin debt for us. And someday we'll stand before God. And someday we'll stand before God and see what we've done with his son. And the Bible teaches us that we can be saved and on our way to heaven. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, I encourage you to do that today. In a minute or two, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to have an invitation as if people would like to come forward and spend time at the altar talking to God about what God spoke in their heart about. And if you're not sure you're a Christian, if you died today, that you go to heaven, let me encourage you to come forward and we have somebody to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. But I want you to, those that know Christ today, how are you responding to your issues? How are you responding to your troubles? How are you responding to the pressure that's under you? You can turn to him. You can get under it, but you don't have to do it alone. You have God. Remember to still worship him. You can get over it because you know the hope that's coming. And because we know that God loves us, we can live through it. But we can have joy and knowing what the end is going to be like. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.